Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on the program tonight, markets and company news from Just One Lap. Simon Brown, good evening to you. Let's look at the JSE broadly as we head towards the close. The market is slightly down, but a bit of interest in data tech and Bytes.
Yeah, there is some selling, Jeremy, evening, and broadly across the board. I mean, we've got industrials actually slightly up, and that's sort of some of the Roy Nets of the like, and you know, that are sort of holding up the market. Not a heck of a lot happening at the moment. As you mentioned, there is some news coming out in stocks, but what we're seeing is it's sort of the January period, and it is just typically quiet at this point in time, and that is no different to what we're seeing at the moment, where things are sort of, I suppose, we're waiting for data. We had inflation, we have got MPC next week, we're getting some trading updates coming, and then of course the big story is always coming out of the US at the moment with Trump's inauguration from Monday.
Simon, let's look at Sasol if we can. There was a revision today downwards on its Secunda and Natref guidance over operational issues, it says. At one point today, the share was down by over 4%. It's recovered a little bit of ground, but again, the problems for Sasol continue, don't they?
They do continue. I mean, there actually is a smidgen of good news. So let's start with that. They got their chemical plant in Lake Charles up and running a little bit ahead of a schedule, and their plan to remove stones from coal is starting earlier than planned, although that's only going to really come in sort of late this year. That'll help with coal quality, which they're really struggling with. But otherwise, I mean, the Mozambique's up and running again, but there are risks there, let's say, and as you say, downgrades coming in. And this is a stock that had really cheered people's hearts from sort of 80 Rand. It had run up to over 100 so far this year. There was kind of hope that maybe the worst was behind. But I think Sasol's still got a long road to really convince the market that it can manage its multiple challenges. One is its chemical complex. Now, prices are depressed. Nothing they can do about that. Their other challenges is Secunda and pollution around that. And debt. I mean, they've helped with some of it, but you know, they haven't paid a dividend. And I worry about Sasol, not in the sense I think it's going away, but at this point in time, I think the investment case is probably at best weak, notwithstanding there has been a lot of cheering for it, as I say, over the last couple of weeks as it rallied over, in fact, almost 30%.
Astonishing, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that was a blue chip that you had to have in your portfolio.
You're 100% right, Jeremy. It's one of the first shares I ever bought. Mm. Now we're going back to 1994, I think I paid 16 Rand for it, and it really was a case of it was a core point of any portfolio. It collapsed massively in the 08 crisis, but hey, so did everything else. You can't really hold that against it. It's traded at points, as you say, a decade ago, of almost 700 Rand, but it's always been cyclical, and that nature is really coming back to bite it. But its move into chemicals has been a disaster in terms of costs and then profitability thereafter. Oil prices haven't helped, and its pollution in a world where, you know, how badly you pollute matters. Sasol's just on the wrong side. And I mean, just for reference, aside from the pandemic lows, we of course had got down to under 30 Rand, and it's trading back at prices last seen in 2003.
Simon, there was some interesting data out of 91 overnight, I think it was. Just remind us, firstly, who 91 is, and then the data was about Naspers, which I think is obvious, but also South Africa's biggest banks and insurance firms dominating the domestic portfolio.
Yeah, so 91, it was Investec, and Investec essentially spun out their investment arm. It's London-based, although obviously they have a strong operations in South Africa. They've also got very strong operations in the United Kingdom. As you say, Naspers, not surprising, that is the Tencent story. Some folks will look at Tencent askance, particularly with the incoming administration in the US. Our local banks, and I have to say, Jeremy, this time last year, I was a little little bit worried about the banks. I was completely wrong. And my worry was the bad debt situation, that yes, things are looking better for consumers, but their personal balance sheets remain under severe pressure. Now, a 0.5% cut in the prime interest rate is a bit of pressure taken off, but not massive. Those rate cuts typically take a year to 18 months to really work their way through the system. But our banks have held on. They are incredibly well capitalized. You will note, if you look at the traditional big four banks, you know, they're kind of moving away from the banking the masses. They're kind of leaving that to Time Bank and Capitec. All the adverts I see for Nedbank, for F&B, for Standard Bank is the private banking part, which is higher charges, more what they call non-interest revenue, and they're doing very well with it. And credit to the banks, the bad loans, which I thought were going to get worse, have all plateaued at about the top of what they call their through the cycle range. And results we saw to the end of last year, they were starting to come back and look better. So our banks are incredibly strong. And I mean, full credit to the CEOs and exec teams there. They've done a really good job. I mean, I know the pandemic is now almost 5 years ago, but it's been a tough couple of years.
Simon, towards the end of last year, I spoke to the chief executive officer of Vukile, Lawrence Rapp, who was remarkably optimistic about business in South Africa. This is the big listed property fund, but I read today that they are reopening talks about more acquisition in Spain. What do you think the strategy is there?
Yeah, so they have, I mean, they're almost, I think, in fact, they're a slightly majority Spain, probably around mid to high 50% of their operations and profits and growth lettable area is Spain. The rest, of course, is South Africa, very much sort of regional and township malls. They had announced that they were looking to make an acquisition in Spain and to grow that business. And then there were those devastating floods, the flash floods that we saw all over our TV screens and social media screens towards the end of last year. And it turns out the mall that they were looking to purchase was flooded. And they said, look, you know, we're not canceling, but we're taking a step back. They remain in exclusive talks. And they just today were essentially reminding us that they're still in those exclusive talks. They're looking at in terms of damage. Obviously, there are going to be insurance claims coming through as well. It's also not necessarily just the mall, but the areas around it that matter. But an interesting snippet, Dr. Nabil Rabini, who's often known as Dr. Doom, he has what he calls it, I call it a doomsday ETF. And of the things he's putting in there, he's putting in REITs, property stocks, but he says those that are not exposed to the climate. And you know, this sort of thing is potentially going to become more regular. We've seen the fires in LA. And as that happens, there's going to be some listed property stocks that are going to find themselves with assets that are flooded, burnt, or whatever the case may be. And that becomes a risk factor for them.
Just finally, out yesterday, Mr. Price saying that it has seen record credit applications, double-digit retail sales growth of almost 11%. Yet, looking at the share price today, it's down by just over 1%.
And Jeremy, it was down yesterday, and disclosure, I am a shareholder in Mr. Price. It has been a very good 12 months as a shareholder, but it hasn't been a very good 12 days as a shareholder. So it was a good update, and they had good like-for-like growth there. Their inflation, internal inflation, was quite modest. They didn't do too much discounting, which really helped. They saw strong November, December. They talk around a strong January as well. A lot of that, of course, is the two pot withdrawals flowing through. We haven't had a follow-up update on that, but those numbers were looking like to be more than had initially anticipated by industry. The trick is they really are, and I hate the phrase, but it's a true phrase, they price for perfection. You know, what I saw a year ago, which saw me buy Mr. Price, I wasn't the only person. A lot of folks have. We've seen the price run hard, and the market really is looking for stellar knock it out the park updates. Clicks, which was a little weaker perhaps earlier in the week, the market punished that as well. And I think it's probably a trend we're going to see as we see retailer updates over the next couple of weeks, where the numbers on the surface aren't bad and the market is Yeah, but we would really like a little bit more. Quick last point on the credit applications. They're still 90% cash, which has been their core business, but they are seeing that as you say, that demand for credit, which is unsettling at this point in the cycle, where it's sort of laid tail to the crunch we were talking about earlier on consumers.
Always breaking it down well for us. Simon Brown from Just One Lap. We'll talk again next week. Thank you so much and good night.
Always my pleasure.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.